when most people hear the names Christo and Jean-Claude, they're likely to say, oh, they rap things. But even the most cursory look at their body of work makes you realize there's so much more, and it makes you wonder just how they should be categorized. Are they sculptors, painters, conceptual artists, environmental artists, performance artists, or all of the above? But in all cases, their work can be described as visually stunning, daring, and almost always controversial. Their two current works in progress are the Gates Project, proposed for Central Park, although that's on hold, and Over the River, which is planned for a portion of the Arkansas River in Colorado. I feel honored that Christo and Jean-Claude could join me today on New York & Company to talk about their past and present work. Welcome.
Thank you.
Considering the fact that Running Fence, Valley Curtain, the umbrellas in California and Japan, surrounded islands, and so much of the rest of your work has nothing to do with rapping, why do you think that's what people most associate you with?
Because not everyone does their homework as well as you do.
But perhaps also because those were your earliest innovations? Those are the things that made you famous in the first place?
That is a possibility.
Yeah. It's also very simplistic. Of course, we're using a lot of cloth, fabric, mm-hmm. textile. And of course, that makes them thinking that we do all these wrappings.
And you do a fair number. Most recently, you wrapped the Reichstag, didn't
that
you?
That project started over 28 years ago.
It took us 24 years to get permission to wrap the Reichstag. And the last time ever that an idea and a want for us to wrap something, that last time was in 1975 when we wanted to wrap the oldest bridge in Paris, the Pont Neuf. But again, it took us 10 years to have permission. Recently, last November, we wrapped 178 beautiful tall trees in Switzerland outside of the city of Basel around the Baylor Museum. And that project had taken us 32 years.
So that you get the idea and then you apply for permission and then you everything's on hold until somebody finally says no?
Sometimes we have refusal and we lost interest in the project. It's abandoned. For the last near 40 years, 18 large project, we undertake another probably 25 we never realize. It's very much like architects, and we're never sure what's going to be realized. And the wrap tree was the proposal. The idea was in the mid-60s. The first time was for Forest Park, San Luis, Missouri, for the Garden of Museum of Modern Art.
Permission denied.
Sometimes
the trees
yes,
of Avenue of Champs-Élysées in Paris, 1968-69, permission denied. And finally, we did that during the winter time when the tree have no leaves, you know, is the project.
And we, of course, use the very same fabric that is used in Japan every winter to protect the fragile trees.
Now, I wonder why the denials so often. After all, you're famous by now. You've been famous for a while. People have enjoyed what you've done. Is it just working with bureaucrats that causes so much trouble?
No. The problem that the other people have is that we never do twice the same project. So whenever we are going to a new place, a new site, new administration, as you call it, or private landowners, because we work in both rural and urban sites, we come and we propose something that they have never seen because we have never done it. And it is very much part of human behavior to be afraid of the new. It's not their fault, it's our fault.
But you hire people. You know, whenever they want to build a new building, they talk about jobs being created.
Yes.
You create jobs.
The very important part of all that discussion is that you should see that all our projects have these two distinct periods. Software period and hardware period. And the getting a permission is integral part of the creativity. It's the part of the soul of the project. This is one of the reasons we don't do commissions. We never accept any commissions. We don't know anything by situ or by... We need to initiate it ourselves because that moment, the work creates energy, trigger variety of response against and for the project. And the very end, when the project is realized, the work carry all that identity, which is impossible to have it when you have naturally commissioned, like usually every work of art is done.
And do people come to you and say, I want you to wrap my London Bridge or something?
Oh, yes. We have files, drawers full of proposals, and we always answer. We all create works of art of joy and beauty only with ideas which have come out of our heart and our head, never somebody's head. And we answer, the best way to kill a good idea is to propose it to us.
What happens if you've been thinking about something and somebody makes a proposal? Does it immediately go in the garbage?
Well, if it's somebody else's idea, it goes in the garbage or in the files. But if it was something we had thought of, then that is already published. We have lectured about it, so that is our baby.
Let's go back to the whole idea of what happens when you wrap something or do some of the other things you do to them. It's really about making things visible, isn't it? Things that we don't normally think of having form, like wind and light.
That is absolutely true, but that is not the aim of the work. What we do, we create works of art of joy and beauty, which have absolutely no use and no purpose at all, except to be a work of art.
Art for art's sake, in the purest sense?
We try to explain. The very important part is our project, how this project started, this project. You know, the classical three-dimensional work of art have her own space, and that space is invented by the artist. Sometimes the sculpture can be very big, like here we have the Lieberman sculpture. It can walk inside. By that, every shape is designed by the artist. What we do, Jean-Claude and myself, we borrow space who usually never belong to art. We never think that for the moment you walk on the street, somebody designed the sidewalk. Take your car, somebody designed the road. 24 hours around the clock, we are funneled to highly regulated space designed by politician, urban planner, meaning, uses, jurisdiction, logistic. Many things.
Even the airways have been designed by
now,
someone.
What we do, we borrow that space for a few days and we create gentle disturbance. Basically, we energize the space and this intricate relation and the work of art inherit everything what's inherent to that space. We do not invent the politics and the Reichstag project. The politics was in the Reichstag. We don't invent the environmental issue and surrounded island project in southern Florida on Biscayne Bay. They was in the bay. What is the greatest of this project? That this project is bigger than our imagination. We never can probably articulate what this project means because they're so complex, so rich, so involved so many things. For example, how me, Jean-Claude, myself, we can see how the Japanese see the blue umbrellas in Japan. First, we're not Japanese ourselves, and we cannot even say that. We know how they see it. We know a little bit, but we cannot really tell fully. In the very end, the project is revealed to us. It's like a revelation. What is the project?
Well, that's nothing new in art, the idea of coming up with an idea and then making it and discovering just what it turns out to be goes back pretty early. That's, Poussin would say, I understand exactly what you're saying. But the difference is that you're doing it on this immense scale.
It's not immense.
Well, you think it is immense because what we create are works of art, but human beings create much, much larger things. Our little running fence in 1976 in Northern California was only 24 and a half miles long. There is a fence built against the wild dogs in Australia. That one runs for 3,500 miles. That's a fence.
No, what Jean-Claude is saying that this ground scale is not like he's mentioned the Poussin. Poussin he have his canvas. Not at all. What I was saying that our project have many elements what they are. For example, nobody discussed the painting of one painter before it's painted. Nobody discussed the sculpture, one sculptor before it's sculpted. But everybody discussing building a new airport before it's built, building a new bridge before it's built, or the highway. Basically, our works have this inherent element. They look like a painting, they look like a sculpture, but they look like architecture and urbanism. They have all these elements. This is why they are not normally like a traditional classical or contemporary three-dimensional work of art. And we go to the same process like the architect have to build a building. Like, for example, we're working in Colorado, and the process to getting the permission is very much like a building highway involving environmental impact assessment. We need to lease the land from the BLM, for federal government in Washington, from the state of Colorado, two counties in Colorado, 19 governmental agencies, and three private entities. Now, that is deep because we deal with the space very much like an urban planner.
I would think you'd try to find places that had fewer people you'd have to get permission from.
Oh, we are on our way to fewer people because for the umbrellas, oh, you know, they were yellow in California and blue in Japan at the same time because it was one work of art in two parts. But in Japan, we had to meet and become friends and sign a contract renting the land from 459 rice field farmers.
My guests on New York & Company are Christo and Jean-Claude. And we're talking about the range of their work. This is Radio New York, AMA 20 WNYC. I'm Leonard Lopate. Almost everything involves the use of fabric, except for the oil barrel pieces. What is the appeal of fabric for you? Is it because of your experience, Christo, growing up in...
I think the fabric is probably the principal element to translate the temporary character of the project. And Jean-Claude probably can articulate a little better. You know, the essential part of the work stay 2 weeks is aesthetical decision. And that fragile quality or that vulnerability, a nomadic dimension of the work is very important.
We want our work to be temporary, not only because the work is once in a lifetime and never again, and is not only for that lovely feeling of once upon a time, but it is because for us, the short life, temporary character of our works is an aesthetic decision. All the artists of the past have worked using and giving to their work a large variety of expressions and qualities. They have worked in marble, in bronze, in fresco, in paint, in all sorts of qualities, big, small, abstract, geometric. But there is one quality that they have never used, and that is the quality of love and tenderness that human beings have towards what will not last. We have love and tenderness for childhood because we know it will not last. We have love and tenderness for our own lives because we know they will not last. We wish to endow our works of art with this quality of love and tenderness as an additional aesthetic quality.
And of course, you know, the photography, still photography don't give a right dimension of our work. You know, our work is very dynamic. It's very dynamic. Moving the wind is the very energy. It's a lot of energy. It's translated all kind of elements in that work.
But still photography, or I guess you can make films of it as well, are the only way that we even know about these works because, as you say, they go up and they last a few days, and then they're taken down. Do you consider the work to be finished when it's finally erected or when it's dismantled?
No, the
very good question. No, our work, because we build those works because we, the two of us and our collaborators, we believe it will be beautiful. The only way to see it is to build it. Mm-hmm. So we really do it for us and our collaborators. Once it is there, standing in front of us, and it's always much more beautiful than we ever dreamt, the creativity is over. We suddenly become the bosses of the maintenance team, the gardeners, make sure the garbage is picked up, everything is fine. But we are not artists any longer. It's finished. And we are, of course, very eager to go on to the next project.
Now, the important part is that, Jean-Claude said a little before, this project... When they start, everybody knows this project started because the artists like to have them, not because some corporate executive, not because some president of the republic, some mayor of the city, artists. That almost irrational desire with no justification, no motivation, is only that strong desire, like any creative thing. It can do small watercolor. You need the artist. If the artist do not have that urge to do it, the artist is commercial propaganda artist. This is why this project carried that uniqueness. And that uniqueness, when appear, the people, they are aware that they see something unique never again. In the late 20th century, actually, we're remaining only a few months more, we're bombarded, banalized by the trivial things, again, the same things. Like a worldwide exhibition of Walt Disney or Olympic Games each 2 years. Our senses, they are lost because we see the same things again. And of course, we try to make the people aware that they're present of something that never again will exist.
But this is a 20th century idea that goes back at least to Duchamp, maybe earlier, where up until now, artists worried about getting exactly the right paints, exactly the right things, canvas or wood, so that they could last forever. And then in the 20th century, we had artists who said, well, we can make impermanent art. And we even had one sculptor who made sculptures that destroyed themselves. So something else has gone on here in this century. Perhaps it's a reaction to that sense that art has to be timeless. But you've said, Christo, that you make temporary works may have something to do with the fact that you were a displaced person.
I was saying that is the very important part of the late 20th century culture, that the world is surrounded with the displaced people. There are not so many people like today, so many for economical or political reasons, they are refugees, move the outside of their country. And of course, the culture, the art, literature, or the or music of these people is very different from the people who is the rooted to one particular area. For example, myself, I am American citizen, but probably I can never can claim that I'm truly American.
We can hear that you are American.
Yeah, but you can see
all
that
Americans
our project,
start up with voices like
our
that.
Project have this very hovering quality. They are not, all our projects have this dimension that they come to the sites and they go away to the sites.
Nomadic.
Very nomadic, which I think is a very important aesthetical decision. And of course,
they're all immigrants in a way.
Yeah, and they are physically also, they build it some way. They build it off-site and final installation is very fast. It's not like a building of huge things brick by brick. Basically, that dynamics is already prepared and installed by hundreds of or a few thousand people. And very short time, and it's part of the way how the work appear and disappear. We're the cleanest artists in the world.
When site beforehand, often it's a mess.
And we recycle the materials.
You should understand, we are populated with the world with so many things. We don't have one single work of art of ours except the drawing and study existing in the world.
Well, you do have photographs. In fact, I even have this thing from Tashin, 30 postcards of records of your work, but they can only give us a little sense of what it must have been like to be there where you have these amazing things going on for miles and miles.
Well, there is a giant difference. For instance, when you look at photographs or the film or the book about the Rapt Reichstag and Christo's drawings, preparatory drawings. I said Christo because I do not draw.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all about the Rapt Reichstag. But once, in 1995, in Berlin, for 2 weeks, there was a Rapt Reichstag. It was not about the Reichstag. It was the Reichstag.
And now the Reichstag has become, once again, the seat of German government. You couldn't have done it now. You had to do it before it had to be open to all of the German legislators who had to write new laws. We'll take a little break here, and we'll come back with Christo and Jean-Claude. This is Radio New York, AMA 20 WNYC. We're back with Christo and Jean-Claude, and we're talking about, we're talking about art and why they make the kind of art they make. I want to come back to the whole matter of your a fabric and the oil barrels that you use. Christo, I read that your father was an engineer and chemist who ran a textile factory.
Yeah.
So when you were very young, did you think about using fabric in a way differently than other artists did?
No, really. Probably the training is very important part. I study in Bulgaria, far away from here, and very conservative art school, 19th century model, and to be the artist, architect.
In Bulgaria?
In Bulgaria.
Also. Not even in Sofia, but
Sofia. To be artist or architect, you go to the same school and study 8 years. And first 4 years, I study architecture, painting, sculpture, decorative arts. And I escaped from Bulgaria in 1957. Probably that is the reason I never decided what to be, painter, sculptor, architect. And you can find there many of these elements.
You didn't even graduate. You when you left, you had done only 4 years, which means he had not yet had to decide what he wanted. And I always tease and I say, I don't think we have found out yet.
Well, Jean-Claude, how did you come to this? Because, as you say, you don't draw.
I do not draw. There are three things Christo and I do not do together. We do everything together, the ideas, the decision, the aesthetic, absolutely everything. However, three things we do not do together. We never fly the same airplane, never. The second thing is that Christo is the one who puts on paper the ideas that we have, and we call them preparatory drawings because he never does them once the project is completed. And he does them alone in his studio. He never had an assistant. He even frames his drawings himself. I cannot draw. I was not taught to draw. The third thing we do not do together is that Christo never had the pleasure to talk to our accountant.
So you handle the business end. Are you the one who makes all of the applications for...
No, we do everything together, yeah. Absolutely together.
Well, why do you think Christo's name is more likely to be associated with these things? Do you think that there's a basic sexism in the world, considering the nature of your collaboration?
No, it has nothing to do with sexism. It is not the fault of the media, for once. It is how we wanted it. When we emigrated to New York in 1964 and found our loft in Soho, which was not called Soho, and we are still there at the same address 35 years later, we knew that arriving on the SS France at the harbor on 42nd Street, we would not find the entire art world of New York City waiting for us saying, oh, great, more artists coming in, just what we needed. And so we decided that we are going to play good cop, bad cop. Christo will be the pure angel, the artist with a big A, and I will be the administrator, the art dealer, the business person, etc. And it worked very, very well. All our collaborators through the years always said Christo and Jean-Claude, but for the media, we wanted it one artist, one administrator.
It's but only recently that an art history
years
book...
Ago, 5 years ago, we decided now we are sure of ourselves, old enough now that Christo's hair has turned gray and mine have turned red. Now we can tell the truth. And so we changed our name.
Mm-hmm. And now you present yourself as collaborators.
Working together is extremely creative process. And like the normal artist working in his studio alone, supreme master decided what to do, we are constantly arguing, criticizing each other, screaming very vocally. Way is the work is continuously scrutinized and very, very creative and very inspiring process. And I find that this is the essential part of our work.
Because I'm shocked that you argue because I have...
But it forces us...
You were born on the same day and
yes.
All the astrological charts say that you should never argue.
Oh, no, on the contrary, because there's two of me and two of him.
We're Gemini.
Because it's the month of June, so it's the four of us. The minute you put four people together, they have to argue. But it is extremely creative and helpful for us.
got lost where I was going to go with that.
But we don't scream at each other on the radio. Don't worry.
Well, you look like you get along very well. And you obviously share some kind of a vision, don't you? I mean, when you argue, you're arguing about the big things or the small things?
Many details, many ideas, decisions.
In some films about us, you will hear us, I would scream, the rope is too long. And he answers, no, you idiot, the rope is too short. And then we have to think, and then the rope comes to the right length.
How much does a project generally cost? Can you give us some examples of the range?
Now, before everything, we say this, all our project, they pay with our own money.
Mm-hmm.
They finance the project with our own money, no grants, no foundation, no industry, is a statical decision.
No again, sponsors.
But you have to raise the money. When you say your own money, you're not
When the General Motors sell cars, he don't raise money. He sell commodity and receiving money. We're selling exactly the same. We're selling art, works of art, they're commodity. We receive that money. And with that money, we can buy house in south of France, Rolls Royce, the diamonds. Instead of that, for example, in 1991, we spent $26 million to realize the Umbrellas project, joint project for Japan and the United States. A few years later, we spent another $13 million to realize the Rise Tech project. Now, this money comes from the sale of original work. They're all works of art, have their own value in this capitalist system.
Because we are our own art dealers. We sell from our home, from the studio, and we sell to museums, to private collectors directly, to art galleries, and to private dealers. And this is our great luck that no gallery ever represented us. So even when we were very young and couldn't sell the work, we kept them.
Now, whenever I hear objections to your work, one of the big ones is the effect it's going to have on the environment and on the ecology. I know you've been very careful not to damage things wherever you set a work, including at one point worrying about the manatees in Biscayne Bay.
You've heard the story before.
Well, I don't know if my audience has.
Yeah, first, all this project, because again, we come down where they have the same process like a building, so like a highway. And in the Biscayne Bay project, which is called Surrounded Island, involving surrounding 11 islands with 6.5 million square feet of floating pink fabric.
Which the media, of course, called the wrapped islands, but we never wrapped any islands. No more than England is wrapped in water. England is surrounded by water.
The fabric was floating 220 feet under the surface of the water around the islands.
Mm-hmm.
Now that fabric is woven. Fabric is like a fiber who is woven very porously because the water can pass through if it's rainy. And of course, the governmental agents tell, but how about the manatee? The manatee is an endangered species living in Biscayne Bay, quite dumb. They are often killed.
They're not dumb, they are very slow.
Slow. They are sometimes hurt by all these motorboats. And we'd like to learn what kind of live manatee we have for 14 days under the pink fabric. And the professional marine biologist in the Orlando and the aquarium, he covered with a pink fabric aquarium. He put the manatee was swimming under the pink fabric, pushing the fabric to take oxygen, you know, they need to have air. And after that, he covered half of the aquarium with the pink fabric and see how the manatee behave. And the manatee preferred to stay under the pink fabric. And he observed that under the pink fabric, the manatee started to develop mating instinct. Inspired
so now
by the color pink.
Amorous manatees.
But you know, first, we do very complex involvement with, you know,
and
with
research.
We do not renting the little section of. When we do this project, we're involved with a huge amount of logistic involving. Cleaning the garbage, traffic, circulation. For example, for the Umbrellas project in Japan, United States, we need to install 220 additional road signs from International Airport of Los Angeles to the site, we're 60 miles from the airport, to help the traffic. We hire, at our expense, near $500,000 cost, 37 highway patrol on their cars to control the traffic, assist the people. Basically, we're involved with a lot of
Was it that disruptive that you?
No,
had
no.
To
they're
do
that? Part of the permit. Mm. How? Because we need the people. We come and we try to create an agreeable situation to
smooth
movement of the people, going to the site, not interfering with the people doing their everyday life. Because with all our project, we go through all that permitting process, involve many different agencies, rather different involvements.
Sometimes, as you say, you don't get the permit, and you have, since the 70s, had an idea for the Central Park Gates project. In 1981, the New York Times commended the Parks Department for denying permission for the Gates project. They said that it was an abuse of the park.
We were almost happy. It was an editorial in the New York Times. And, of course, the New York Times does not generally lose time and space, valuable space in a newspaper, to do an editorial against an artist. But as a matter of fact, it made us laugh a little bit, because before that, we had had only one editorial against us, and it was in Pravda.
So the Times and Pravda going after
you. No, but I should give credit to New York Times. New York Times wrote editorial for the Reichstag project and for the Gates just 4 years ago. Yeah, 1995.
Now they've come out for it.
Yeah,
but you're
still
not getting it. What is the objection that the city has?
We should try to give this. We're in New York City and we have little time. We should first say the project started in 1979 and we got to protest the permits with the Koch administration. Of course, Gordon Davis was back commissioner. Gordon Davis did the refusal by writing 165-page book. The refusal was on the sides of book. And of course, on that refusal, Gordon explained three main objections why the project should not happen. One is that we create a precedent, and for Mr. Davis is the lawyer, we created precedent. The second objection that the park is overused, and of course the project will attract many people, but in like the visit of the pop or the rock concert, the project involving 26 miles of walkway, there will be no focal point to have a few million people.
You won't be stopping anybody from moving
anywhere.
No, they
will walk. They will walk on this gorgeous gate. And the third objection of Gordon Davis,
under the gates,
that even that we pay with our money, the project was estimated at that time at about $8 million, that it was impossible to think that we spend all that money for work of over 14 days. Even that we give all the rights to the park, and we still give all the rights to the park. No, we give all the rights to the park to make money with the project, like all the souvenirs, all the franchise they can create it, like the city of Berlin, make $100 million in additional taxes on the Reichstag project. We give all that to the city and to the park. The park say no. And of course, we stop with that project and we start again working on that project, but of course, privately now, not officially with the park, mainly with the conservancy, because the park is now run by the conservancy. Conservancy is really the main maker of the park today.
But we always admit that whenever people do not understand what our next project will be and they resent it, it is not their fault. It is our fault. We have not explained it well enough.
How do you think of yourself? You mentioned architecture. What about sculptors, conceptual artists, performance artists?
Environmental artist. If you need a label, we believe that labels are good for bottles of wine, not for artists. But if you need one, it's environmental, because we work in both environment, rural and urban.
Mm-hmm. You don't sign your work.
No, for the drawings they sign the work, we cannot sign it. We cannot sign the work.
Well, you could sign a piece of cloth somewhere around the corner.
Who knows? Someone might take it.
That's part of the problem. Do you have problems with vandalism? Do people respect the work?
I give you the example. What Jean-Claude was saying in the very beginning, how the beauty is important. The beauty is the most important part of our project. And often the beauty is considered old-fashioned, but more and more artists today feel that beauty, in the very larger sense, is a essential part of the work of art. Now, in the wrapping of the Reichstag, for example, the government of Germany and the mayor of Berlin, city of Berlin, was scared to death that the Reichstag would be used for the neo-Nazi or left-wing protestation during the wrapping. There was the plan called out policemen, thousands of them, around the Reichstag when it was finished, they was wrapped. There was not one single speech
but
in the front of the Reichstag.
In addition, because Berlin, like New York, is graffiti city,
Not anymore. We haven't had graffiti here for years.
Okay. And
you can do this project now.
In our office in Berlin, we had very expensive pots of silver paint because the fabric had the silvery color, and brushes, so that our monitors and our maintenance team could go and paint over the eventual graffiti. We never opened a pot of paint.
You gave out swatches of the fabric from
the
Yes,
we always do that with all the project. You know, this part of the... When the project is installed by this group of the young workers, they have this monitoring activity. They welcome the public. They give information and swatches of the material.
Now, I'm curious about what your relationship to the public is. You make art that's free. You're never associated with museums.
Oh, yes.
Oh, you are?
No. We have exhibition museum buy our works, of course.
We have, of course, of the preparatory work.
The sketches and
drawings, of
and
course.
And also the objects of the early 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
Packages, wrapped table and chair, etc.
All variety of early pieces, yeah.
Museum exhibitions, a giant list, 7 pages.
So, what do you do? You have any hope that some of these projects, the ones that you really love, like Over the River, and then
right now, okay, this is very good. Over the River, Jean-Claude, explain that. Over the River, the project is evolving Arkansas River in the state of Colorado.
We want to hang horizontally, high above the water, a succession of fabric panels hooked to steel cables, which will be anchored across the river, and while you are driving along the Arkansas River, you will see a river of fabric moving and waving, and then it stops, interruption. You see the real Arkansas River, the one made by Mother Nature, and then the fabric river starts again, and we want to use 40 miles of the Arkansas River to install a grand total of between 5 and 6 miles of fabric river with interruptions.
We go down in the water, experience the project from under, which is the absolutely smashing, beautiful experience, because Arkansas River is the most rafted river in America, and they have this incredible translucent fabric. You can see the clouds.
Mm-hmm. Should be mountains. Pink, because then, like the manatees, everyone under it will get amorous.
No, it's very beautiful, very
no
thick material.
No chance to develop mating instinct in a moving rubber raft. No way.
You have a child, Cyril. Is he an artist as well?
He is a poet. We are very proud of him. He is 39 years old today, and he has 5 small books of his poetry published. And when he was 25... he produced a documentary against war or for peace, and it was nominated for the Academy Award.
Mm-hmm.
So we are proud parents.
But if he had told you, Mom, Dad, I want to be an artist, would you have broken his fingers, as some artists have said?
No.
Certainly not.
No.
Well, I was joking about it. If my kid says, I want to be an artist, I'll say, no way.
He grew with us like little young boy, and he loved languages. He speaks many languages.
Isn't being a poet... It is an art.
They're very related.
Of course.
Well, I want to thank you so much, the both of you, for being with us today. It's been a wonderful time with Christo and Jean-Claude, and may you have all of your future projects come true.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for the wish. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.